Welcome back to episode number 73 of the NP Dude. This is Jeff, the NP Dude, giving nurse practitioners a voice. That's all of our voices, guys, so keep comments, questions, concerns, headaches, problems, complaints. I'll take the complaints. Bring them on. I want to hear what's holding you back from staying a listener, or what's holding you back from not wanting to stay on the show or not listening to the show. So I'm always trying to improve. I'm always open to and receptive to certain ideas. Some things aren't. I'm not going to change, but I am receptive to them. At least I'll listen to them, and so I do appreciate that. And I appreciate all comments, because it is time out of your day to talk to me when you guys could just tune off. And so even if you tell me, you know, you stink and I don't want to hear from you again, that's your time that you took to do that. I'm good with that. I'm open source. So whatever you want to do, send it to me, jeff@thenpdude.com. You can always catch me on Facebook, send me a PM there, either through the NP Dude, or you can catch me personally and do it through my personal page too. I'm good with it. Either way. You also can catch me on iTunes too, or you can comment on the show below as well. So some people, I don't know if they want to like advertise their comment in the, you know, below in the blog, but that's okay. You can email me. That's fine. I won't throw you under the bus, and I don't use names unless I'm you know, it's specifically stated that I could. Show topics for today. Well, let's see. Let's go back. Housekeeping. I got 878. I don't know. 870s. On the likes on Facebook, and sorry, I'm in an intersection here, and I don't want to get run over. There we go. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. 870 something on the likes on Facebook. I'm not sure I'm going to get there, guys. So I really need your help. Me posting a couple things on Facebook ain't going to get us there. I need you guys to spread the word. This has to be, you know, if you think it's worth something, if you think we're onto something with this show, then and you want to utilize me as a resource or utilize me as a mouthpiece to get issues out there to, you know, right now we got, you know, almost 1,000 people that are listening at least through Facebook and iTunes, easily 1,000 people that are somewhat regular people. Not everybody on Facebook is going to listen every day, and I get that. That's okay, but they're getting the updates every day. So when they see a topic that they like, they listen and they share it. And I'm getting a decent amount of shares still, so I really appreciate it. But I need you guys to help me spread the word. That's the only way it's going to get out there. Because I just don't have time to go on you know, do Twitter feeds to everything and do all these updates and things. I just don't. I'm struggling to get one or two shows out a week. But I'm okay with that. I'll try to, you know, if it's important to you guys, I'm going to make it important to me. So I'll keep doing the show as long as there's input and feedback coming in, and there is. So I'm keeping on going, but I need your help. I really want to try to get to that 1,000 mark. I think it just would be cool. I just had this number in my head, 6 months, 1,000. And that was when I first started the show, that was kind of in the back of my mind. That was the target I want. We're so close. We can do it. I know we can. We got a couple weeks. We can do it. Topics for today. Let's see. We're going to jump right in. I want to talk about, I had a great exchange with somebody last night that brought up a potential legal argument to try and get around something. And this is Ohio. Now, I've been criticized about talking too much about Ohio, but I have a lot of Ohio people that listen. So I like to inform them because I get a lot of emails, PMs, and phone calls from people in Ohio that are asking me what's going on, how does this affect me, and that kind of stuff. So it's easier for me to put out a podcast and talk about it than field 10 emails. So it's really about time. So I apologize to you non-Ohio people out there, because it's really not that I'm trying to slight you and not talk about your state. It's just it's easier time frame for me, because I can do it once and move on instead of answer the same questions over and over. People that are contacting me. So the other thing that we want to talk about today was this exchange, right? This exchange that I had with this individual. Somebody's looking at me like I'm insane when I'm talking on my recorder right now. That's okay. Yes, I'm insane. She's looking at me at a stoplight. What was the legal argument? Can the Fair Trade Commission, the FTC, step in and possibly regulate the physician groups that are blocking elimination of collaborative agreements, as well as, and it was more specific to Ohio, there's a weird rule in Ohio that you're not allowed to prescribe Schedule II narcotics unless you have a physician-owned practice, or there's like 8 other exceptions to it, like a hospital-owned clinic, you're part of an FQHC, you know, a whole bunch of them, but they left out NP-owned practices, like probably by design, to just limit our ability to do our real job. And the big issue was a lot of psych NPs that are out there that are treating with Adderall, and it's a scheduled narcotic, and that would preclude them from being able to prescribe that medicine if it was an NP-owned clinic. And so we've got kind of a changing of the guard in our Ohio Board of Nursing CPG, which is the council that does the formulary, and or the committee that does it. And so somebody was talking, you know, can we try to bring this to the front about maybe doing some kind of a FTC, you know, letter to the FTC or some kind of antitrust claim or something like that. And it was this great exchange back and forth with this individual that was really pretty educated on it, owns her own clinic, would be a great resource. I'd love to bend her ear sometime about her practice and how she got into it and how she set it up and all that stuff. It would be a great podcast. But it's hard to do in the car. I don't think I could Skype while I'm driving in the back roads of Northeast Ohio. We'll have to see if I can make that happen, but I'm not sure I can do that. Anywho, it was the question then became like what can the FTC do, and is it justifiable? Well, we kind of went back and forth, and she was doing some research, and I was doing some research, and we were, you know, kind of collaborating through Facebook thread, and we came down to this point where she found an article. It was actually an opinion that was put out by the FTC that specifically dealt with this issue, the APRN practice scope relative to physician practice scope, and whether there was an FTC violation, with the states saying that, you know, the states saying, you know, sorry, you can't practice to the fullest extent of maybe other states, and we're going to limit you, and whether that was a violation. And basically, they went on for like 11, 10 pages. It went on about how great NPs were, and it sounded fantastic. It was like all the Institute of Medicine, the IOM studies that have all showed the safety, efficiency, and effectiveness of NP. Those are the three words they used, of NPs in practice relative to physicians, saying, you know, we're just as effective, we're just as efficient, actually sometimes more, and we have just as good outcomes. But the problem is that when they hit page 11, it said, oh, but we're going to go ahead and defer to the states and let them make their own decisions on whether they want to limit the scope of practice, because it's up to the states to design the safety for their population. So the feds weren't going to step down to that. And what it comes down to is basically whether there is, does that constitute a preemption? And we've talked about preemption in the past. Well, an opinion letter is not the law. It's an interpretation of an executive branch of what the law would be. It would be like an executive order from the president. It would say, this is, if we were going to decide a case on this, we would probably rule this way. And then the individual that I was talking with gave some, like, oh, here's the FTC's, you know, process if you want to file something to them. And it was like, wow, she's on it. I mean, she's faster than some attorneys probably working antitrust, because she pulled up all this stuff and there's great resources. But I'm reading through it and I'm like, yeah, but the problem is that antitrust was originally designed, and then she's pulling out the Sherman Act. I'm like, gosh, okay, 1890 Sherman Act. All right, this chick's cool. I like her. Impressive. But Sherman Act, yes, the Sherman Act was the foundation for all antitrust. That's basically what it comes down to. And antitrust is really when you think of the traditional antitrust. I always think of like the robber barons of like the 1890s, 1900s, you know, up until the 1920s and the crash, right? It was the guys that were, and I don't think there was gals, so I'm not trying to be derogatory, but, you know, it was the people that were, the Vanderbilts, right? You know, they're building railroads and stuff, and they had the complete monopoly on the railroad industry or the steel industry or, you know, this industry or that industry, and they basically bought everybody up, and it was all in one place, and then they could price fix, and you were at the mercy of that specific industry. Now, the current one that I think of with antitrust would be the oil companies. You can't tell me that every gas price in town is about the same and there's not price fixing going on behind the scenes. And there's not, but there is. You know, OPEC does it, and they kind of price fix, and then everybody goes off of that. Well, there's, you know, you can't tell me that the leaders of that industry don't have some authority at OPEC to set the price of a barrel of oil, which sets the price of gasoline. So that's kind of what antitrust does, is it tries to prevent that. Now, is an organization that is anti-nurse practitioner, like and this is, for example, the Ohio State Medical Association, OSMA, is the fact that they don't think that that nurse practitioners should have full practice authority and have the ability to do narcotics. Does that constitute an antitrust violation? And I would say no more than the fact that OAAPN, which is the Ohio Nurse Practitioner Association, wants to have full practice authority. It's just an opinion. There's no collusion to price fix. There's no collusion to stifle competition for the sake of just making money. It's, you know, under the guise of public safety, and we don't think this is appropriate because of, you know, the lack of training and blah, 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 all the crap that they've been spewing for the last 20 years. Now, evidence shows that that's not true, but the problem is that it doesn't matter when you have state laws already on the books that say it's not safe for that, whether it's crap or not. All the state agency, the state medical board or state medical associations have to do is say, look at the states that have limited practice authority for nurse practitioners. See, they got it right. The ones that are letting them have full practice authority didn't. And so that's where all they got to do is say, no, we're not antitrust. We're just following the lead of the state. Now, if for some reason you had some, and this is where I said I'd love to be a fly on the wall in the room that were, you know, and hear the conversation at the back door, because I'm sure they happen, but you can't prove it. How do you prove it? If you had the Ohio State Medical Association, you know, director or board leader or whatever you want to call them, the chairman of their board, on tape talking with a state legislature that is the deciding vote on not to allow full practice authority, maybe you could get them on that. But I don't think that would even be the right. I think it would be more under like, you know, not fraud, but something like, you know, bribery or something. Here, I'll give you $10,000 if you vote this way. Yeah, that's kind of bribery of a public official. That's a federal crime. That would be more of a way to go than a FTC claim, because FTC is not going to step on that one. They leave it to the states. 25 of the states? No, more than that. Right? There's 22 that have full practice authority right now. So that's what, 28 states? 28 states says you can limit it. So FTC is not going to step on that one. Now, if one state was saying you can't do it, then they may have a claim. But you got over half of them that still have limited practice authority. I don't see an FTC claim. Now, I still think that preemption might be the way to go. And I think that preemption could be done through the CARE law to get that done. Because there is a federal law that limits the scope of, or expands the scope of practice, and there's still state laws that limit it. So you might be able to open up a little bit through that. And I was going to say something about that, but the other person was signing off. And I was going to say, hey, well, the better way to go would be use the preemption claim and go that route. Which we've talked about preemption. So go back, use the search box on my website, thenpdude.com, and you can look for preemption. I talk about that at least twice, I think. And it's a good thing to know about, because there are federal laws that can affect us. There's state laws that certainly affect us. But when they overlap, which one do you have to use and abide by? Sometimes it's nice to know those things. All right, topic two of the day. I got it. Let's see, it was a Facebook comment, or not comment. It was a Facebook message. Sorry, this is driving. My car's making a funny noise. It makes me nervous. I think I got a bad bearing. My car's not that old. Really frustrating. Got a lot of road noise. Problem is I'm getting my truck fixed right now, so I can't. I'm limited on vehicles. I drive an hour and 15 minutes each way to work. Get stuck out in the middle of the country on the side of the road. That would stink, wouldn't it? I wouldn't get to see my first patient here at 8 o'clock. I'm racing to work, doing S-turns, grinding sound coming from my wheel. That's not good. Oh well, we'll figure it out. I'll just take that wheel off and drive with three wheels. That might work. Anyways, all right. So I got this message from a guy. I think his name is Paul. I'm not looking it up, Paul. If your name's not Paul, I apologize. He's out in Washington. He was he had the same comment as somebody else, quit cursing. And I said, you know what? Go back and listen to episode. It was episode 52 where I talk about why I curse. It's who I am. That's the basic of it. And do I alienate people? Probably. Yes, I agree. But there's part of this show's partly entertaining too. So there's a good number of people that are saying, yeah, keep being you, dude. Don't worry about it. And so I've got more people saying that than not. So I'm going to continue to be me. If I get a bunch of people to say, stop swearing, I'll try to make more of a concerted effort. I have decreased. I know I have. I've been trying. It's just hard. It's who I am. And I don't want to be unscripted. I want to be unscripted. I don't want to be a scripted and sound all uptight. That's not who I am. And guess what? The title of the show is The NP Dude, for crying out loud. That's what we're doing here. We're just entertaining and trying to give some information. So I'm not going to go rehash that, but go back and listen to episode 52. I spend a little time talking about why I am who I am and how I'm not going to change me to be somebody else. All right. The other thing is he had some great stuff. I mean, he had some great points. Excellent stuff. Too much to talk about in one show, though. So I'm going to hit a couple of his things throughout probably this week or next. But great information. He's an NP student. He's got like a year left of school. He seems like he's been in nursing for a while, but I'm not sure. His Facebook profile picture puts him probably in his, I don't know, 40s. I don't know if I'm over-guessing your age. I don't know. 40s? Maybe about my age? Maybe a little older? I don't know. Somewhere in there. But the first thing he was talking about, he had some great stuff, really great stuff. But one of them I kind of talked about yesterday, and it was talking about how the percentages of, based on a study that was done, the percentages of people that rely on, and it was a breakout of like their health care, like whether they take care of themselves and they attribute, you know, and I can't remember the numbers, but the numbers, I was expecting it to be like reversed. It was like 10% of people rely on medical care alone to manage all of their health, right? So like they don't take care of themselves, they don't diet, they don't exercise, they just show up at the practitioner's office and say, throw me some pills, and they take the pills. And that was only like 10%. I would have expected it to be a little higher on that number. I thought it would have been like 25 or 30%, just the way that, you know, the United States is, and Americans are, you know, pretty, in general, pretty lazy. And it went through some obesity rate increases, and I read the article that you posted that was linked to it, and it was great, and I agree with everything it said. And I kind of touched on it yesterday or the show I posted yesterday. I did it last Friday. And, yeah, you can wait, young lady. So sorry. There we go. And, but what was interesting was it said something like 40% of people rely on exercise and diet to take care of themselves. And I thought that number was high. It was like 40 or 60. I can't remember, but I think it was 40. And hold on, I'll pull it up. I shouldn't do this while I'm driving, but I'm going to. Yeah, it says 42% of, and it might sound awful because I'm driving and reading and doing all this at one time, so I apologize. It said, this was favorite speeches by a guy named Brent James. Talks about how behavior accounts for about 42%. Sorry, it's really windy roads, and I'm reading. It's dangerous. I might kill somebody or myself. My crappy car's falling apart. 42% accounts for health. What determines their health, right? So it's like what they are doing for their lifestyle. Like, is if they're overeating and it causes obesity, that accounts for part of their lifestyle of what their disease illnesses are. So it's a little bit different perspective than I was explaining it. So what this is saying is 42% is accounts for like things that they can do to change their self. Okay? I thought that number would have been higher. I thought it would be like 60 or 70%. I give more credit towards, you know, healthy eating and lifestyle changes than this article would. I'm more in favor of what you're saying, Paul, and his name is Paul. Genetics is only 30% of the problem. I thought that number was high. I thought it would be lower. I thought it'd be like 5 or 10%, because that's a number I heard in school was like 5% of illnesses is relatable or attributable to your genetics. So I think this guy's being, this Brent James guy's being a little bit friendly with that, saying, oh, it's not your fault for, you know, more people than I think really is. But that's just me talking, not, you know, I have no statistics on that. I'm guessing. And I remember hearing a number of 5% in school, but I could be wrong. And then it says only 10% is attributable to your healthcare. So your quality of life is how I would picture that, right? It's what you get out of all of those things. Your lifestyle, your genetics, and your health care, and it should add up to 100. I didn't add them all up, but it was interesting because I thought those numbers were all backwards. I really did. I thought it'd be more the other way around. I really thought that lifestyle, diet, exercise, you know, things that those changeable habits that you've got out there, smoking and, you know, doing shooting heroin in Northeast Ohio, all those things tend to, you know, decrease your life and quality of life. So, but I thought that was a great article, and it was, he had this thing, it was posted from the New England Journal of Medicine article about global health effects of overweight and obesity, and it kind of went through, you know, some of the things that we can do as practitioners, and I agree, and so that was actually ironic because I did post a little bit about that yesterday, about, you know, taking care of yourself is a bigger part of, you know, of let the food be the medicine, and let, you know, your lifestyle choices be, you know, your health care. And I really believe that. And so I've got right now, I had a patient, several patients, and so I'm not going to blow a HIPAA, but I've had several patients, and I'm not going to say guy or girl because it's been both, that have come in to me and said, I want to lose weight. And I said, fantastic, I'll help you with that. And I said, how do you want to do it? Have you done it before? Have you lost weight before? And they usually say, no, not really. And I say, okay, well, I've lost 75 pounds, and I've done it, so I can help you with this. And if you listen to me and do what I say, I know I can help you. But you got to want to do it. And the next question is, can I get a pill? And I said, you're not getting it. No, you're missing the whole boat here. Because a pill is not lifestyle change. And so I have this discussion probably at least, I don't know, once every other week with somebody that comes in, and it's not even for the purpose that they're coming in. But I do see it often. And I thought that it was just great timing, Paul, that you said that, because, and you sent this, because I just had somebody, you know, in the last couple days of working that really struck a chord with exactly what your comments were about, you know, malleable lifestyle. Can we change these things, and can we effectively do it? And I have this discussion almost identically to what you were saying with patients all the time. And I have probably a half a dozen people right now on my schedule. About once a month I see them just for weight loss, because they say, holy crap, you lost 75 pounds. I'm like, yeah, I did. Now I've gained some back, but I know how to do it, and I'm effective at doing it, and I showed I can do it, and I kept it off for quite a while. And so, you know, changing your lifestyle is an important thing, and you have to do that first. Now, I would, and I do use medications. I don't use schedules, but I do use medications. I'll use Contrave for people if they're stuck, but they have to prove to me that they're changing their lifestyle, because otherwise I'm not going to, you know, prescribe an expensive pill that typically Medicaid, in my situation, is going to be paying for. And it's not going to be an effective outcome. They'll take the pill, they might lose 15, 20 pounds, and then they're going to get it right back as soon as they go off the pill, because they're going to go back to binging. And I don't want that to happen. And so I'm not going to waste the resources to do that, and I'm not going to give people a false sense of security that, you know, this is going to be a lifetime medication when it's really meant as a short-term thing to get you jump-started if you already have the right mindset. And so, Paul, thank you for that. I really do appreciate your comments, and I really do appreciate your criticisms of me, because you're absolutely right. I don't need to say negative words and swear words to get to necessarily get my point across, but I do, and that's who I am. So maybe over time I'll change. Maybe I will. I'll try. If that helps people, I will. I'll do better, I guess. I don't know. But this is the second comment I've had on that, and so it's not that I want to change who I am, but maybe I do need to be a better person. I don't know. I'm trying to do the best I can, just like everybody else. So we're pushing 24 minutes. I have more to talk about. I got a ton to talk about, but I'm gonna save it. There's been a lot going on in the last couple of days. I know, like last week it was all dried up. There was like nothing going on, and then this week I got a ton of stuff. It was like if I'm quiet for a couple of days, then people are like, oh, hey, dude's not talking. We need to go hit him with some stuff. So maybe I'll do that every now and then. I'll take a little hiatus and just see all the stuff pour in. We'll do it after the 1,000 likes, though. So keep sharing the show, guys. Spread the word. Tell your friends. I really want to hit that number. Don't forget to email me your information, questions, concerns. I don't care what it is. I want to hear from you guys. Jeff@thenpdude.com. You can always catch me on Facebook. Send me a PM there. Or personally, you can get me Jeff Powers. You can follow me on Twitter @thenpdude. I don't get many people following me on that. I don't think there's a lot of Twitterers. I don't know. Tweeters? because I don't understand it. It's kind of nice. I follow a couple things on there, and it's kind of nice. I don't know. Every now and then there's a good information that come popping up from, like, I follow the Board of Nursing on there, and so, like, when they change dates of things, it's kind of nice, because it's, like, a instant feed that I get instead of waiting for their, like, uploaded emails. They tweet sooner, I think, than they email. I thought something else was funny. I'll talk about this real quick. AANP sends out their news brief emails, and, the last one I got, and I usually give them props, right? So I'm going to tear them down a little bit. They usually give them props because they have some pretty decent articles on there and some good information. And I scan through almost every one they send. I at least look at the headlines and see what's interesting to me. And they had one that was, this was what the email was. And I'm like, oh gosh, I'm going to delete that one. It was, and it kind of goes with what Paul said. This was the header. Research shows obesity is linked to diabetes. And I started laughing. I'm like, really? That's like saying rich people are related to money, or, you know, it's just so stupid. I'm like, really? Slow news day at AANP. You could have picked one of the other topics as your leader. You know, everybody's going to delete that one. It's like, yeah, I don't have time to read something I know. Delete. I just thought it was funny, but I usually give them props. I love AANP. I think they're a great resource, and I do really appreciate what they do, but that one was, they blew it. Come on, guys, pick a better topic. Try harder. Coffee tastes delicious, you know? I mean, just like, yeah, right, whatever, okay. I got coffee right here, that's why I said coffee. I'm ready to drink some. Anyway, guys, I really appreciate the comments. Paul, thank you so much for listening out there. I would love to hear more from you. He asked how he can help me. You can help me by sharing the show. Like and share the show. Tell your friends about it. If you're embarrassed by the swear words, then don't. I get it. But leave me a rating. If you guys want to tell me how things are going, I got a lot of great ratings. I have like 1.4 out of 5 stars on iTunes. I just checked last night. Still only 13 ratings there. And same on Facebook. I've got everybody likes what I'm doing, but I'm not hearing like criticisms other than the swearing. I want to hear things I could do better. I know the intro outro stuff, Paul. I know, I just don't have time. I really don't. And I really want to check out that guy you told me about. I'm going to do it, but it's going to have to be on a weekend after I get mulch done and kids, you know, baseball games and all the other stuff that's going on. So intro outro stuff's going to have to hold off. I'd love to find a quick way to do it, but I'm having a hard time just getting stuff out as it is with the way the schedules are. Hopefully once winter hits, which then I'm in Cub Scouts. So it just depends. It really depends. I'm a busy guy. So I'm doing the best I can. If intro and outro is the stuff that's keeping people from listening, I apologize. I can't help that right now. Eventually I'll get there, I promise. If this sticks around long enough and I can, you know, find a way to monetize and pay somebody to help me with it, I'd love to. But right now I'm not there. So anyways, and I'm not sure how to monetize this without, I don't want to affect you guys. This is free. It's open source. I don't want to charge you guys. Maybe Amazon affiliate link. That might be a way to do it. I don't know. We'll have to talk about that. We'll see. What do you guys think? If I did an Amazon affiliate link, would you guys use it? Tell me what you think. If you guys would click on a link that I had on my website to buy your Amazon stuff for Christmas, and I got a little kickback, small percentage, you wouldn't charge you anything extra to do it, would you guys do that? Would that be something you guys would be interested in? Tell me. Comment on the show below, on the notes in the below the show, or send me a PM, email me, or just message me. Let me know what you think. Amazon might work. I don't know. I don't know how much it would work. I just want to kind of cover my costs, though. It's expensive. It gets expensive doing web hosting. And I'm going to eventually need to upgrade my capacity because I'm filling this thing up already. So anyways, thanks for listening, guys, and we'll talk soon.